long as you need.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, I'm Mary Eileen Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio, and this show is a celebration of baby boomers who are embracing life as we grow older. Yet we know that to continue celebrating life on this planet, we have to be mindful of the environment and the health of the many animals who share our world. That's why I am especially excited to speak with our guest today, Thomas Paycheck. Thomas is a marine biologist turned National Geographic photographer, and his passion is all about conserving and protecting our planet's most valuable and beautiful resources, our oceans, islands, and coastlines. He joins us today to share all about a book that is both an incredible feast for the eyes and a treasure trove of information about those strange and wonderful creatures who live in our seas. The book is called Wild Seas, and I am wildly excited to get going. So welcome, Thomas.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me. Hugely appreciated. Lovely to talk to you.
Well, lovely to talk to you too. And I want to say at the onset for everybody out there, the photographs in this book are truly stunning and the information you share is fascinating. And just leafing, you know, through the pages or taking a, you know, look at what you've got there really helps to inspire everybody and about those remarkable creatures on the planet. Now, you claim to be a matchmaker. So I'm going to start off this show by asking you to tell us more about that.
You know, the really key thing is that you can't fall in love with something you don't know that it actually exists. It's really that simple, but also that profound, you know, all that fun all at the same time. And it's my job as a National Geographic photographer to dive beneath that reflective mirrored ocean surface and to reveal this alien but fascinating realm. And I try to inspire people, and I try to do this by showing them pristine marine habitats and magical creatures that hopefully they fall in love with and they go, wow, I cannot believe that places as beautiful as this really exist on our planet. But of course, as a photojournalist, I also have the, you know, onerous task to also reveal the darker side of our relationship with the ocean. And that includes the impacts of pollution and climate change and overfishing. And I always walk this incredibly fine line between what I call the carrot and the stick, you know, in between my photographs inspiring and disturbing. I think too much beauty and inspiration, it can result in complacency, while too much gore and death leads to hopelessness. So I try to tell these balanced stories and share images that get people to think and act, you know, and hopefully fall in love. And ultimately, I want them to try to make a difference themselves and become part of the solution instead of remaining a part of the problem. And that's, I think, really where as a matchmaker, I have this incredible opportunity to introduce people to this, you know, alien realm right at our doorstep. And look, in an ideal world, I would love to take you all by the hand and take you all on a dive or take you all on a snorkel. But of course, you know, because if that were to happen, I think that personal experience would, you know, create hundreds of millions of ocean conservationists overnight. Unfortunately, I don't have enough hands to do that. So I think the next best thing is to share my passion and to share the ocean world through photographs in National Geographic magazine and in my books and on the Instagram feed.
Well, and Thomas, I have to say, too, I was so inspired by that beautiful quote from your book, and you were alluding to it right now, and I'm going to quote you back to you. I am inspired by love and fear, love for our planet's wild seas, and fear that future generations will not get to experience them the way I have. Just reading this, I got, you know, truth chills up the back of my neck, and I just think that must be what drives you, and that is such an eye-opener for those of us who may have been complacent over the years, to really start thinking about the message that you want to share.
You know, during my 15 years as a National Geographic photographer, I have made more than a million photographs. And for this, you know, Wild Seas book project, I spent months, I mean, scouring my archives and trying to select just 200. I mean, how do you select 200 images out of a million photographs that I made on just challenging expeditions to some of the planet's wildest seas and remote coastline? And for me, it was all about picking the images that tell stories. picking the images that kind of get people excited and interested and get them to care. And the photographs in Wild Seas, they tell, you know, first off, they tell the stories of unique animals, be it, you know, great white sharks or manta rays, marine iguanas or dolphins, and they showcase pristine places, like, say, the Galapagos or the Seychelles or the islands around Antarctica. And together, these images collectively tell the story of our planet's rich yet fragile ocean realm. But the book does more than that. The book also tells my own personal story, from this, you know, fish-obsessed 10-year-old nerdy kid to becoming, you know, a marine biologist, you know, who studied kelp forest ecology of South Africa, and then later who made the leap, you know, to, you know, becoming a National Geographic, you know, photographer and explorer. And the book really reveals what life is like on assignment for Nat Geo. I mean, the highs and the lows, the agony and the ecstasy, I mean, warts and all. I mean, what does it take to travel to the edge of the world again and again and come back with these iconic photographs that you see in National Geographic books and in the magazine or on the Instagram feed? And that's what I mean by, you know, being inspired by love and fear. I want people to share the love for the ocean, but I also want them to wake up and realize that, you know, their future is in dire jeopardy.
Well, and of course, throughout this book, you really make that message clear. And I love the way that you said that you kind of walk that fine line between frightening us to death and making us feel overwhelmed and, you know, sharing the beauty and the wonder and the amazing creatures that live below, you know, the below the waterline. So it's a wonderful, wonderful resource you've provided for us. And what I know you cover various topics in the book, and one of my favorite animals is the sea turtles. You call them ancient mariners. So tell us about a little bit about sea turtles and some of the insights you have about them.
You know, I've been fortunate enough to photograph sea turtles all over the world for more than 20 years now. And sea turtles are really a fantastic, you know, conservation flagship species because they spend part of their life cycle on land. They migrate and travel to beaches all around the world. And then at night, the females, they crawl out onto the beaches, they leave the ocean, and they dig their nests in their sand to lay their eggs, which means they are actually visible and they interact with an ecosystem that we understand. So we've made such incredible, you know, conservation sea turtle strides over the years because I think people see them and they can relate to them and they understand how they connect with the environment that they themselves utilize, which is our beaches. So sea turtles are really, you know, a great conservation gateway drug, for lack of a better word, because they're very easy for people to understand. And, you know, and unfortunately, though, most marine animals never leave the ocean. They never, you know, penetrate that reflective surface. So that's where it is a much harder sell to fall in love with something that you are likely never going to see. And that's why I think sea turtles, again and again, they are a really, you know, fantastic conservation flagship. And as a photographer, I try to, you know, use them in my work and tell stories about them as often as I can.
Well, and they're also very cute. I mean, they're just, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't like a sea turtle. Now, a less cute animal that you photograph and refer to a lot are sharks. Now, I have to ask you, as a photographer, what is it like diving down and, you know, encountering these sharks and, you know, wanting to take photographs of them but wanting to preserve your arms and legs, too?
Look, I'll be honest with you. I feel a million times safer and happier, you know, 90 feet down, surrounded by 200 sharks, than I am crossing the road in New York City or Miami or any other large city. I feel much safer in the presence of sharks than I do, you know, around taxis and vehicles and all sorts of things. So, I grew up with sharks. I've been in the water with them for decades. I feel remarkably comfortable around them. It doesn't mean I don't respect them. Many species of sharks are formidable, you know, apex predators. They thrown on top of the food chain, and we need to, you know, give them the respect they deserve. But the you know, sharks have really bad PR. And I see myself kind of as their PR representative in many ways. And I think through my photographs and through the stories, you know, I want to, you know, share that they are very, very different from the malign creature that most people think they are. And they are critical. You know, they are these important predators on top of the food chain, and by removing sharks and by, you know, you mess with the balance of the ecosystem, and you can't remove, you know, an ecosystem is very much like a Jenga puzzle. It's like everything is there for a reason. It fits together, it's all connected, and then you remove, you know, species A or species B, things are gonna fall apart, things are gonna collapse. So at the end of the day, I think sharks are one of those species that it's harder to sell than sea turtles. But look, at the end of the day, emotion is good. So I would rather interact with the person who is scared of sharks or who hates sharks, because that means they feel something. And if they feel something, I can work with that. I can turn fear into fascination, and I can turn hate into awe. What I cannot work with is indifference. Right? So at the end of the day, I would rather you hate sharks, and I can work with that because I can take that emotion and I can hopefully change that and I can educate around it. It's indifference. That is probably the biggest single killer, you know, when it comes to, you know, marine conservation, is people who just don't feel anything about anything in that regard.
Well, speaking of feeling, I can feel the passion in your voice. I know you are. This topic has really grabbed, you know, your attention, and you are sharing that with the world. Your love, your, you know, your focus on the seas. So what? I mean, we don't have too much time left, but what are one or two things that ordinary citizens might be able to do to help preserve our wonderful animals beneath the water surface?
You know, one of the most important things to realize is that, you know, helping to protect the ocean, it's not the exclusive domain of photographers like myself or biologists or conservationists. Everybody can play their part, and never, ever underestimate your power as an individual or as part of a larger community. You know, the fantastic thing is once you've fallen in love with the ocean's creatures and you are now aware of all these threats facing them, there's so many things you can get involved in. I mean, you can volunteer services, you know, to an organization that protects endangered sea turtles locally, or you can donate to grassroots initiatives. And if you're passionate about the ocean, share that enthusiasm and love with as many people as possible, whether you're a poet, a radio host, a writer, a photographer, an amateur, it doesn't make a difference. I mean, tell these stories and become the eyes and ears for people who are not able to experience the marine realm firsthand. And look, the two most significant threats to ocean health right now are overfishing and climate change. And to combat both of those requires us to significantly change our collective behavior as human beings. And I mean, the first thing is you as the consumer have so much power. You know, when you walk into a restaurant or you go into a supermarket and you buy fish for dinner, if that's what you want to do, you know, educate yourself where your seafood comes from. I mean, there's all these wonderful apps on your phones like Seafood Watch. You type in the name of the fish and it will tell you, is this a good fish to eat? Is this overexploited? Is this sustainable? Does the fishery destroy corals? You can now make decisions. And if you refuse, you know, all these fish species because they're endangered or becomes from bad fisheries, you know, the restaurant is going to learn. They won't order those. They will only order what you order. And the fishermen will only catch what they can sell. So at the end of the day, you can support sustainable local fisheries and make a real difference by, you know, voting with your wallet. I mean, climate change is slightly more complex because it's this major global connected issue. And I think while you as an individual, you can do many things to lower your carbon footprint, I think the most impactful way to combat climate change as an individual is, you know, who you elect, you know, as your representatives. And, you know, elect politicians who have a decisive agenda, who understand climate change, who want to reduce CO2 emissions and who champion renewable energy. Because only, I think, if we combine the grassroots individual with the people in power who represent us, I think that is the only way for us to ensure that, you know, all these fantastic marine creatures and all these wondrous ecosystems will survive into perpetuity. I mean, I want to ensure that the next generation gets to experience the ocean the way I do. And the only way that's going to happen is if we all become part of the solution and step away from being part of the problem.
Oh, my gosh, Thomas. I was looking forward to this interview so much, but you have just elevated my mood, my passion. Thank you for sharing not only this beautiful, wonderful book with us, but your information, your expertise, and, of course, that obvious passion that you have. I really appreciate getting the chance to speak with you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Eileen. It is hugely appreciated.
Well, I'm back at you. Oh, my gosh. And for all of you listeners out there, you know any book that's published by National Geographic is going to be wonderful. But this one, Wild Seas, is a real feast for the eyes. But more importantly, it represents a profound call to preserve the wonders of our planet for generations to come. And Thomas is the person to do it. So I'm thrilled again to get to have gotten to speak with you. And until next time, this is Mary Eileen Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio, saying I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.